Some say that you don't have to mention the blood. That's just too old-fashioned anymore. They got here too late, I'm already on board, and I'll ride this ship to the shore. I'm riding this old ship of Zion. So many before me rode it safely o'er. Jesus, the captain, has lost, no, not one. So I'll ride this ship to the shore. What it took for others, it still takes today, a washing from that crimson flow. Confessions at Calvary cleanse every sin stain and makes one whiter than snow. I'm riding this old ship of Zion. So many before me rode it safely o'er. Jesus, the captain, has lost, no, not one. So I'll ride this ship to the shore. And I'm riding this old ship of Zion. So many before me rode it safely o'er. Jesus, the captain, has lost, no, not one. So I'll ride this ship to the shore. Well, Jesus, the captain, has lost, no, not one. So I'll ride this ship to the shore. I'll ride this ship to the shore.
Actually a pretty eventful day, a lot of things going on, and hearing about our friends and their sicknesses in Kentucky, and phone calls this afternoon, and but we're glad to be able to make it back safely, and hopefully all the weather and everything has not affected people too bad and everybody's been safe. I know that there's some places, I think somebody told me water got in their door driving through it, so hopefully that didn't happen to any of you guys. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 12. We're just going to read two verses here, and then we'll get right into the message. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again for allowing us to be in church tonight, bringing us back safely tonight. Lord, we ask you, Lord, now if you would just help us for the next few moments, God, that you would, God, prevent any distractions, help us to fully focus on the Word, the message you laid upon our heart, and I pray that you'd help us to learn from the Scriptures, help us to use and apply it to our lives. Lord, I ask you if you'd just also help us to not just be doers, hearers, but doers also. And Father, we promise to give you the praise and the glory for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking here tonight on the subject and the thought of the will of God. And, you know, this is something that oftentimes that you spend time counseling with people, talking to people about this particular subject in their effort and their desire to want to find the will of God for their life. And for the record, that's a noble desire. It's something that we should want to do. It's something that we should desire to do, is to want to be in the will of God. Now, let me say a couple things real quick just as we get into the message. The safest place in your life to be is in the center of God's will. Okay? The safest place to be in your life is in the center of God's will. Now, that doesn't mean that it's a place where you think is a safe country. Okay? But if it's the Lord's will, then that's what the safest place to be. For example, a missionary who maybe is called to a foreign land and, you know, places that oftentimes we can never fathom that we would go And that's why, by the way, it's important for us as a church to always support and pray for missionaries, because if you think about it, church, they're actually doing things that many of us are not willing even to do, right? And so it's just a thought, you know, some of these places missionaries go, I've often wondered, Lord, would if you were to call me there, would I be willing to go? So if that is where God has called them to be, then that is the safest place for a person to be in the center of God's will. Now, as we read here in the text, you notice on the latter part of verse number 2, he mentions that there, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what we're going to really focus on today, is proving that will of God, or knowing the will of God, or desiring to better understand the will of God. In fact, let me also give you this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Let me make a quick reference there in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I do believe that God wants us to understand and to know His will for our life. Now, also as we bring to light or bring into our minds this idea of the will of God, God is not trying to keep His will for us from us as a secret. Amen? You know, sometimes that, you know, you ever got a call from a family member that said, hey, can you come over? I got something I need you to help me with. And they won't tell you what it is, right? I got a project I need you to help me with. And sometimes I'm not sure I want to come or not. I mean, I may or may not want to be part of that project. Well, I wish that you just tell me what we have going on so I can be better prepared for it, right? But of course, you try to be gracious and you try to be helpful, and you most of the time try to go. But that's not the way that the Lord, He wants us to know His will for His life. Now, sometimes people think, well, what is His calling or what is His plan and other things in my life? And those things are important. But what we're trying to establish tonight, church, is that scripturally speaking, there are some things that we already do know that's in the Bible, that's in the Word of God, that is part of His will for our life. The first thing that's part of God's will for our life, the rest of them after this really are irrelevant unless this one is settled, is salvation. Do you understand that number one, God's will for your life is for you to be saved? You know, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you notice that part? He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what that means to us, church, if He's not willing that we should die without repentance, that means He is willing that we do repent of our sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and to be saved. So number one, God's will for our life is to be saved. So if you're here tonight and you've never been saved by the grace of God, and let me just take a moment. I never want to assume that everybody who's here or people who are listening, maybe via live stream, have a complete understanding. You do realize, church, that oftentimes we use words and terminology and we think that everybody understands, but sometimes they don't. And so it's our job to help to teach and to equip them spiritually speaking. So when we're talking about salvation, we're talking about people being saved. That means that there's been a time in your life where you have trusted and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So how does a person be saved, Pastor? Well, simply as the Bible says, first of all, it's an understanding that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody here tonight, sinners, everybody who's walked this earth, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all sinners, friend. Okay? So first of all, we know that we're sinners, but then we also know that there's a consequence for our sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So there is a consequence for our sin. Thirdly, there is a remedy for our sin, and that the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There He made a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John 14 and 6. But then simply, as He says in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart, Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when we say salvation, when we say God's will is for you to be saved, we're talking about a time where you have literally asked Christ to forgive you of your sins and to save your soul. So if you're wondering tonight what God's will for my life is, number one is that you be saved. So if you've not done that before, friend, We certainly want to give you an opportunity to do that here tonight. I can't help but think that, or it would scare me to think that people came through our church, heard the message, and never had an opportunity to be saved. And our goal and our desire is to give you an opportunity every time you come to the house of God, if there's someone here that's not been saved, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So number one, God's will for your life is that you are saved. So God's will is salvation. Second of all, notice that he talks about a sacrifice there in verse number 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You do realize when it comes to serving the Lord, there's going to be some sacrifices that you make in your life. There's going to be some things that you have to give up. There's going to be some things that you change in your life in order to follow the Lord. Amen? Now, I want to tell you this, church, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you don't have a sinful nature. But you should sin less. Your desires should change as you start to grow in the Lord. Your physical being, as far, you know, that may not change. You may look the same. You may dress the same. You may wear the same clothes. That may not change. So we're not talking about physically speaking necessarily, but we are talking about spiritually speaking. Your desires, your want to. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? You ever heard of someone who went through something, they turned over a new leaf? Well, this is even much better than that on a much bigger scale, because now you are literally, spiritually speaking, a new person. As we said, it may look the same, but on the inside, some things start to change, and you start to realize that, hey, you know, I'm going to make some sacrifices to honor God. One of the sacrifices that you've already proven is the fact that you're here tonight. Hey, friend, it's a sacrifice to be here on Sunday night. Now, I hope that you come because you love the Lord, too. Amen? I hope that you come because you desire to worship the Lord. But sometimes, I get it, friend, sometimes you just don't feel like it. Amen? But you make the sacrifice, and you go anyway, right? I mean, I've not woke up every Sunday and thought, my goodness, it seems like a good day to preach, or it seems like a good day to go to church, right? Now, I love to be here, I love to preach, but sometimes you just, in your mind, you just don't feel like it. But you know what, friend? I've not come to the house of God and thought, boy, I wish I hadn't gone. But you know what's happened if I don't come? Generally speaking, what happens is, man, I sure missed out. I wish I had been there, right? But nevertheless, friend, at the end of the day, you are sacrificing your time to come to the house of God to honor Him, to worship Him, because you love the Lord. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth me. That was his motivation. That's what got hold of him, was his love for Christ. So we see that serving God is going to require some sacrifices in your life. That means you might make some changes in your life. That means you might do some things differently in your life. That means that you're going to sacrifice some of your time in the morning to dedicate to the Lord, to pray and to read and to have your personal devotion. Because again, and you'll hear me say this a lot, friend, just coming to church two or three times a week, as far as your relationship with the Lord is concerned, is not enough. He requires a bigger sacrifice than that, friend. It ought to be something that we set aside some time every day and get into the Word of God instead of the Word of God. And I realize you may not have time to spend hours and hours a day every single day. I get that. I understand that. I work a job just like most of you do, too. I get that. But we should give Him some time. I don't know what your schedule. Maybe it's better in the morning. Maybe it's better in the evening. Maybe you have more quiet time then. I don't know, whatever it is, friend. Whatever your schedule works by, what I'm saying is that we should sacrifice some of our time and say, you know what, this is the Lord's time, other than just going to church. This is the Lord's time, and I'm going to give it to Him no matter what. So when we're talking about the will of God, and not just knowing and doing the will of God, but also starting to embrace the will of God, there's the salvation, there's the sacrifice, and thirdly tonight, there's service. Did you notice there also, in verse number 1, it says, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You know, I always thought that statement there in the Bible, acceptable unto God, actually starts to separate what kind of holiness we're talking about, what kind of sacrifices we're talking about, what kind of service we're talking about. Let me illustrate it to you this way. How many of you remember the story of Cain and Abel? Right? Cain and Abel. You remember them? And you remember that they brought a sacrifice to the Lord. And if you remember, Cain brought a sacrifice of the fruit of the field. In other words, what he had worked for, what he had tilled. Work that he had actually done, and he brought that as the sacrifice to God. But yet Abel brought a lamb sacrifice, which is what God required. That's what God asked for. They would have been taught that that was what God needed, or what God required was a lamb sacrifice, right? As you study the Bible, you'll see that Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God, but Cain's was not. So oftentimes in our mind, we think, well, I did this or I did that. I've literally known people that write a big check to the church and they think, well, that's enough. That's all I need to do. I don't ever need to show up. You know, this ought to be enough to get me into heaven. Friend, we have a total misunderstanding of what is it that the Lord wants for our lives. If we think that just writing a big check to the church is enough, we're far off base. Amen? You see, that's a sacrifice of something that probably you've earned. And for the record, I believe we should give. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But I'm just making a point. There is the understanding, or the should have the understanding, that what is acceptable to the Lord and not necessarily acceptable in our minds. Just like Cain thought in his mind that his offering was acceptable, but according to God, it was not. But Abel's was. Abel's was. So it says, acceptable unto God. And then it says, your reasonable servant, which is your reasonable service. When I think about reasonable service, I've often thought about it like this. You do realize and understand, church, that everything that Christ has done for us by sending His Son to die on the cross, and then Jesus going to the cross, and as the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed, over in Isaiah chapter 53, the sacrifice that He made, the blood that He shed for you and I, even if we lived our whole lives from this point forward totally dedicated, committed to Christ, we did nothing else but commit everything, every cent, every ounce of energy, every moment of time that we have to the Lord, you realize that's not enough to repay Him. It wouldn't be enough. We cannot repay what Jesus did for us. If we could repay what Jesus did for us, then now has become a works-based salvation. You do understand that, right? But yet the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. It is the gift of God. So our salvation is a gift. So let's put it this way. We don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. Amen. There's a difference in motivation, friend. We're not working for our salvation. We're not earning our salvation. But we ought to have a desire to serve Him because we are saved. And that's where the difference comes in. And in fact, going to what we just referenced a little bit ago, Paul himself said that the love of Christ constrained him. I can't think of a greater motivation to serve the Lord than just simply because you love Him. Brother Tuck, if you don't mind me illustrating this, I know you mentioned about Sister Cynthia getting sick. I know during that time frame you also weren't feeling well yourself. Am I right? But you were doing things for your wife. Why did you do that? Why did you sacrifice and serve her? Even though you felt bad, brother. He said something very key. He loves her. You see, friend, that's what love does. Love makes a sacrifice. Love serves, even when it doesn't even seem feasible to do so. I know that was right around the time, because I think we had come right before that here, brother, and then right around then got sick. In fact, I think the day we were here was when Miss Cynthia went in the hospital. Pretty sick for a long time. But you see, the example there that we're seeing is that love wants you to makes you do sacrifices with generally no thought for yourself, but love also makes you serve people. So if we keep that in mind with that example and what Paul said, that the love of Christ constrains us, we not only serve God because we should, and it's our reasonable service, but we serve the Lord because we love Him. That's our reasonable service. So again, coming back to that thought, when we say reasonable service, that is the very least that we can do, church. The very least that we can do is be right in the center of God's will and set, make the sacrifices in our life that God requires and serve Him because we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. So, church, if we're going to be in the will of God, number one, you're going to need to be saved. Nothing else is going to matter. You can go through the motions. You can pretend like you're doing something for God. But, friend, if you have not been saved, just remember in Matthew chapter 7, He does say, there shall be those that said in My name, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name done many marvelous works? But the Bible says, depart. He said that He'll tell them, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You know what that means, folks? That there's people that have never been saved and even doing things in the name of the Lord, but they have never actually received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But God will literally say, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. To me, that's the worst thing that you could hear in the Word ever in history when He says, depart from Me, and then that sad part, I never knew you. So first of all, if you're going to be in the center of God's will, you have to be saved. Second of all, you're going to have to make some sacrifices. There's going to be some things that change. So thirdly, you're going to have a servant's heart in order to serve the Lord because you love the Lord. Number four tonight. This will help you as far as being in the center of God's will. If you look over with me, and Brother Dana, I don't think that I gave you this text, but over in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 15, pretty familiar passage of Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now if you look in that verse, in the next verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect word of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renewing carries the idea of a refreshment. How do we spiritually get renewed or refreshed? Let me tell you this. Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We just read, study to show thyself approved unto God. So, the renewing or the refreshment that we get spiritually is by hearing and reading the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is renewed, your faith is refreshed, your faith is strengthened literally by the Word of God. So if you want to know, if you want to understand, if you want to embrace the will of God for your life, you're going to have to be studious. You're going to have to be a student of the Bible. Because as you start to study the Bible, as you start to get into the Bible, you'll start to see other aspects. What we're talking about tonight, church, is not an exhaustive list on what it takes to serve God. It is not by any means. There are several other things that are required in order for us to honor God, serve God. We're just giving you a few thoughts tonight to help us, hopefully, get our minds spiritually on track on serving the Lord. What I'm trying to encourage you tonight, church, is that if you're going to be in the center of God's will, you are going to need to be a student of the Word of God. Say, Pastor, I'm new to church. That's great. There's no problem with that. I want to encourage you to start reading the book of John. Start reading in the gospel. Start reading some of the basics. And of course, I've got people that I'm working with, and I want to help you. But I want to encourage you, get in the Bible. Start to read something. Get in the book of Psalms. Something that is, spiritually speaking, easier to digest, if you will, okay? I mean, because the Bible does teach that, you know, when somebody is new in the Lord, they're on the milk of the Word, okay? But as you grow and you start to mature, you start to get in on the meat of the Word. Nicholas, my oldest son, and he might not even like me using this illustration, but, you know, when he was born, he drank formula, right? We fed him through bottles. And then we started to add, what was that baby rice cereal? We started to give him that baby rice cereal and then that baby food. And boy, he sure loved that. You know, he was proven by blood, you know, spitting that stuff out. Then he started to graduate into things like mashed potatoes. You know, that's when things started getting real in his life. Amen. Mashed potatoes, you know, soft foods and things like that. But you know what? There's something that's happened in my son's life. When he took a bite of steak, woo, Something changed in his life. And that boy, every time we want, he either wants Mexican food or he wants steak. And if it's a happens to be a Mexican steak, it's the best of both worlds. We call that carne asada. Who likes carne asada around here? Thank you. All right. Glory to God. But what I'm saying is that when my son was first born, he was on the milk. Now he's on the steak. I said this morning, I wish I could have steak every meal, but it's just not possible. Is it, Brother Dennis? Amen. But you know what happens, folks? It's the same way with us spiritually concerning the Word of God. Paul illustrated the milk of the Word. When you first get saved, you're new in the Lord. Hey, listen, you got to start out with something you can digest. The reason my son, we did not feed my son steak when he was little, because first of all, he couldn't chew it up and he'd choke on it. Second of all, it would be very difficult for an infant to digest steak. He's just not ready for that. I want to encourage you, even if you're new, friend, don't get discouraged. Don't get defeated. Don't say, well, I don't know as much as that brother. That brother's probably been in church for a long time. Get in on the milk of the Word, and if you need some help and direction, we're more than happy to help you to know where to get started. Get in on the milk, but start to feed yourself the Word of God. Because if you want to be in the center of God's will, friend, you are going to need to be a student of the Bible. We've mentioned so far tonight that if you're going to be in the center of God's will, number one, you're going to need to be saved. There's no other way around it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're going to need to be saved. Second of all, you're going to need to make some sacrifices in your life, which may include making some changes in your life. Thirdly, you need to have a heart to serve the Lord, to serve people. And of course, remember, we serve the Lord by also serving people. Number four, you need to be a student in the Bible. And last thing, I want to mention something here. There's the process of sanctification. Sanctification. If you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me read a couple of verses here for you. For this is the will of God. You notice that? Everybody see that with us? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, if you read on, he starts to talk about some of the things, some of the works, of things that we should stay away from, some of the things we shouldn't do, how God has called us not into uncleanliness, but into holiness. Down in verse number 7, we see that. But he says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, sanctification is simply the idea of being set apart for God's holy purposes. You are growing closer to the Lord. You are in a constant cleansing process of your life, spiritually speaking, because you are constantly going to the Lord and saying, Lord, change my life, work in my life, show me where I need to improve. And so by being sanctified, you are getting closer to the Lord. You're getting more set apart from us, set apart from the world, and closer to God. Did you notice in our text, he said, be not conformed to this world. You know, that word conform, if we get back in there, you want to look at that real quick. In verse number 2 of chapter 12 in our text, and be not conformed to this world, that word conform means to be like, similar in form or character. That means that we become less and less like the world and more like Christ. That's the idea of sanctification. That is part of God's will for our life. The Bible literally says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. In other words, that's a growth process, man. You don't just automatically get sanctified with everything that needs to be sanctified in your life overnight. Now, you get saved right now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call upon the name of Christ and you'll be saved immediately. You could literally walk in this door lost and on your way to hell and walk out the door saved and on your way to heaven. There's not a process. There's not an application fee. Somebody say amen on that, amen. There's not a membership in the church that's required. We don't have to dunk you in the baptistry. Those are all part of our spiritual growth and process that comes later on. But sanctification is something that we continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we are constantly or should be constantly in the state of being more sanctified for God, for His holy purposes. I am not as sanctified as I should be, because I am still in the process of being more sanctified for the glory of God. Thank God that I have come a long way, but also it's important to remember that I've got a long way to go. Amen? Thank God that I understand and know a little bit more about the Word of God and God's will for my life than when I first got saved. But it's also important to know that I've still got a lot to learn, church. I cannot exhaust the study of the Word of God. Even though we've been all through it, friend, there is still more to learn and more to understand concerning God's will and God's Word in this idea where He said this is the will of God, even your sanctification. So we've seen here tonight, church, five simple thoughts concerning the will of God for our life. We've seen how God was not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. That's our salvation. We've seen here where it's talking about the will of God, the sacrifice that must be made. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Thirdly, we've seen the reasonable service that leads up to partly being in the center of God's will. Number four, we've seen that we should be studious, where it says, renewing our mind. That's a refreshment in the Word of God daily. And then we've seen where it says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That's a continual process as we continue to grow closer to Christ. Let me read this statement, and I'm through. In fact, I'll ask my wife if she'll come to the piano. I heard a preacher a long time say this. A lot of people have made a decision about Christ, but have never made a commitment to Christ. And friend, if you want to be in God's will, it reminds me of Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where the Bible says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And it goes on. But basically, Daniel had purposed, because of the special diet that he was supposed to be on according to the Jewish laws that were implied at that time, he was not going to defile himself, even though he was in a strange land and he could have probably got away with it. He already determined that he wasn't going to defile himself. He purposed in his heart. And friend, that's what God wants us to do tonight. We need to purpose in our heart. Not later on. Not when we're faced with the circumstance. Not when we're up against the fire or in the trial. We need to determine a purpose tonight. Make a commitment to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to grow closer to you. I want to be in the center of your will. I want to know and understand what your will for my life is. So I want to make a commitment to the Lord, and I want a purpose in my heart that that's what I'm going to do. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Whatever your need is tonight, friend, we do want to give you a moment to come down. If you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we do want to invite you to come. If you're here tonight and maybe you want to make a decision, a purpose in your heart, I want to grow closer to Christ. I want to honor God. I want to do God's will in my life. Maybe you'll pray where you are. Maybe you'll want to come down to the altar and pray. I encourage you to get a hold of the Lord, or actually better yet, let Him get a hold of you. So Lord, do something in my life. Do something in my heart. My desire is to turn it over to you. My desire is to honor God with my life. Whatever your need is tonight, friend, just be obedient to Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you've got a different burden in your life and in your heart, church. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Friend, that care is a picture of our worry, our heartache, our trouble, anything that you're concerned about. The Bible says that you can give it to Him, friend. Won't you do that tonight? Won't you give it to Christ? Won't you give it to the Lord? How about you, friend? Whatever your need is. Some's already praying. What about you? Do you feel like the Lord's tugging at your heart to get busy doing God's will in your life? How about you, friend? God's, I know, speaking to hearts. Would you do that tonight, friend? Would you make a commitment? Would you purpose in your heart that I want to do God's will in my life? I want to one day stand before God and hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's a personal desire of mine. We will stand before a holy God. And I desire for Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How about you, friend? Is God speaking to you? Church, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your desire and the sacrifices you made to be here again on Sunday night. Or maybe you weren't able to be here this morning, but you came here tonight. We are so glad to have you here. Thank you again for your faithfulness to church. I really mean that. It's just not the same without you. I'm so glad that you're here. And I know that there's some that are normally here, not able to be here due to sickness or flood or other reasons. Or some that are actually traveling town. I think Brother Robert's family was traveling in today, and he was going to meet them, and I think that's good, by the way, amen. I'm going to see his family, so they should be here, if not yet, but here very, very soon, so make sure we continue to pray for them. All right, church, we're going to go ahead and pray and dismiss, and again, normally, I'm just foregoing today into the fellowship, not that I don't want a fellowship, just as an extra caution, getting over a cold, feeling a lot better, but I would just rather not give the cold to you, is my desire, not pass it along. So I'll wave at you. I'll holler at you from this side over here, just like I spent the last 30 minutes hollering at you. And so, nevertheless, we do want to continue to be encouragement to you. And if we can do anything to help you, please do let us know. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your goodness and grace. Thank you for allowing us to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for the services that you've given us today. God, as we promised earlier, it's our desire to honor and glorify you. And Lord, I hope that we've done that. I hope that everything that's been said and done today would be pleasing unto you. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts about your will for our lives. Lord, especially if there's some here that's never been saved, that I'm concerned for their soul. Lord, I pray that you'd help them realize today is the day of salvation. Lord, we pray for safety and protection as we go home and go our separate ways. Watch over our church family. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. God bless you all.